The minig is the tzala maisa on Motzah Shabbos. Maybe a chassidish maisa, usually it's the minig. So I'll say over chassidish maisa that they say, that the Lublin Rav, Rameya Shapiro used to say over. You have to have an imagination, a bissel for this story. The story is that there was an Ashkenaz minion in the Alte Stadt that had minig Ashkenaz. And the chassidim came into the town and they wanted to do minhag of Chassidish Minhagim. And they moved into the town. It's a very, very wild imagination you need for this. And a bunch of Chassidim overran an Ashkenaz minion. And at the time, there are not many different Minhagim that are so noticeable. But one of the big ones is Pesach by night. Pesach by night, these Chassidim got together, and the Ashkenaz, minhag Ashkenaz, that you don't say halal by night in a shul. But the Chassidim, Manoyeg, under the minhag, the noyeg to say halal by night. So they went. And at night they went, they made their own minyan for halal. They made a big uproar. The whole community was upset. The Hasidim are coming, they're taking over. What are we going to do? They went to the Rav, the rabbi. They told him, you got to stop this immediately. What are you going to do? So the rabbi called in the Hasidim and he said, what are you doing? I heard that you mamish from Mavaza, the Oilam, you Mavaza, the Minig Ashkenaz. The Hasidim told him, what? What are you talking about? We weren't Mavaza any minute. Why? What is this? So he said, you don't say at night, you don't say Pesach by night, we don't say halal. So the Hasidim was sitting there, Erlicha people, good people, like, there's a Ramah that says that. We didn't know. Show us the Ramah, I don't think the Ramah says it. They put the Rav on the spot. You say we're wrong, we say you're wrong, show it to us. So the Rav was prepared, that's an easy one. He took out the Shulchan Aruch, Tav Pei Ches, and it says what? Tav Pei Zayin, the end of it, Bilal Rishon Shel Pesach, this is Shulchan Aruch, which is the Chassidim are this way. Goyim ha'halal b'tziba, b'ne'ima, b'bracha, t'chila b'soif. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And then the Rav answers on. But by the way, ha'go'a v'chol ze'ein ha'noigin kein. Kein ha'non b'lai l'beis ha'knesses. Halal b'klal, we don't do it. So they told this, the Rav told these people, the fair Ramah, it says, ein anu noigin kein. What are you talking about? Open Ramah against you. So the Chassidim told the rabbi, we think you read the Ramah wrong. I read them, I'm wrong. Here it says, "V'chol ze einan anoigin ken." So they told him like this. They told him, "You're reading it as a sharfa, an oberlander, yeki, a ramah, einan anoigin ken, but a kifa. We don't do such a thing. It's not the way to read it. You have to read it with a chassidish shavei, with a brech. You have to cry and say, nebuch, nebuch, we're not anoigin ken. But really, the chachila ramah also holds do such a zach. That's in Hilchos Pesach. Tonight, we're starting slichas. The Shulchan Aruch says, noigim. Lokum bashmaris loymas lichit fezaknunim when meirish chodesh elul. What does Ramah say? Hago minig when Ashkenaz ain't a king. So why are we ain't a king? How do you read these words ain't a king? Is it ain't a king with a tkifa that no, we're not noyeg slichas for 3 weeks before? No, we wait for the last minute. Or you read it with a shtikovei, a krechs, nebuch. We have to wait until 3 weeks. We have to wait anticipation to hear the choir, to hear of nissim. You have to wait for all the stuff in order to get the beautiful slichas. Do you know how we come into tonight? Sometimes you hear a question, you're in learning and you hear a question, and in our limited mindset you feel, doesn't make any sense. I'm a lamdan, I went to yeshiva, it's not a good question. And then you look around and you see that the gedolim of yesteryear take this question very seriously. And then you realize, I must have something wrong here. If they're taking it seriously, I must take it seriously. So I'm going to quote you again, Akasha, from the Rebbe of the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason. The Rebbe of Yonason's Rebbe asked this kasha. We have an halacha in all halachas that says, negay for kabbonis, negay for mitzvahs, something is nearer, it's qualified, it's acceptable, it's eligible. The nitche, then it becomes disqualified, ineligible, it has something wrong, easy case, it has a mum, a defect on an animal, let's say, is an easy example. Ein a nira. The halacha is once it's defective, even if the mum, the defect goes away and it's back to its original situation, it's not roya for the mitzvah. It's not roya for the kabbonis. It's not roya. You can't work. It's unacceptable. Once disqualified, it remains disqualified. Even though at one point it's good and now, if you came in now for the first time, you saw it, and you say it's good, you say, it's good. Doesn't make a difference. If once it was good, it became disqualified, it's out. So the rabbi of the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason asked this kasha. Vos epis hilchas tshuva should work. Everyone is born as a nira. Yeda mensch has an neshama inside of him that was born to hirihi. Atanasata, right? We all have the same neshama. Day one, we're all kosher lagamri. And then Nebuchadnezzar coming now and saying, we were nitcha abyssal, whatever our various we might admit to. We became a nitcha, so who cares if we're going to do tshuva? Once it's nira v'nitches, ain't a nira. There's no such thing. Tshuva should not work. This is the kasha of the Rebbe, of Yonason. I found it surprising as a kasha, and then I started looking around, and the Chidah mentioned this kasha as a kasha neflah. So seriously, we have to think. It's a much bigger question than we're at first glance might mock. What does tshuva help whatsoever? How does tshuva help? If at one point you are disqualified in the hilchus of laws of mitzvahs, the laws of kabbonis, you are now disqualified forever. How does it work? So a few weeks ago, Parshas Re'eh, we read about the laws of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah works that if someone, yid or a goy, sets aside an object for Avodah Zarah, it's asabano. No benefit from this object at all. And the pasuk tells you that when we come into our tesho, we have to destroy the Avodah Zarahs. What do we destroy? The trees on top of the land you must destroy. So the Gemara says, what's up with the trees on top of the land? The Gemara answers, because the land alone, Avodah Zarah can't destroy. Doesn't make it asabano. So if a goy bows down to the land, and today they bow down to the sun and the moon, what are you going to say? Well, asabano and the sun and the moon? Can't say such a thing. We wouldn't exist in the world. So the Gemara says, yeah, ein hachanami from a diyuk in the Krah, that Allah harim, they have the right to pass it. They have the right to make avodah zarah, right to make asabano. You can't have asabano, even on a tree. If they build a tree, whatever the details are, how a tree becomes avodah zarah, it's asabano lagamri. But the land itself, they can't touch. Why? It doesn't go that far. The avodah zarah of the world stays above the bare minimum. The Gemara in Zvachim says, in Hilchas Chatzitza, not for now, that when David HaMelech built and made the Beis HaMikdash, he created Kedusha Ad HaTahoim, all the way down to the bottom of the world, to the middle of the world. It was Kedusha till then, has practical halacha, see Zvachim Chavdalad. Practical halacha that it means. But the Vort, the lum that's behind it is godless. It means that when it comes to Tumah, Avodah Zarah, the grest of Tumah, Avodah Zarah, there's an opportunity to destroy things, but only misafel l'chutz, from the land upward. They cannot destroy the land. Kedusha of the negative side won't affect it, does not go down. But when it comes to Kedusha of Tahara, when David HaMelech is making something Kaddish, it goes all the way to the bottom. We know a phrase, Adam is Olam Katan. Every one of us represents the world. 100 different explanations what that means. But for this shmuz, it means that every one of us, whatever our veris we did, is misafu l'chutz. Avodah Zarah only does from the land up, doesn't affect the inner veinik. The inner veinik part of ourselves remains within ourselves. That part is never nitcha, I want to answer. Every person, if you would be a nir of a nitcha, there would be a problem of hilchas tshuva. But we're never a nitcha, because the pintaliyid, if we could use such a phrase, that's famous, the pintaliyid, the inner veinik person, is always considered kadosh v'tahor. Because the negative forces in the world don't have a right to dig that deep down. The Kedusha has a right to dig that deep down. Not the negative. So we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm supposed to make some announcements about the shul. I think I'm going to skip it. We're a little late. But we started a series on Monday nights. We brought in speakers the last couple of weeks already. We're doing Vaita as well. And this 2 weeks ago, we had a Rav who wrote out the Rein Avram and a Rambam. He put out the Svarim. Last week, we had Rav Shemanowitz, head of Ali Zayas. And he spoke about the history of Slichas. And among the things he was saying, which he then wrote in his Gilyan Ali Zayas, he wrote that when you look at the Sefer Zekorins, the books, the Yiska books, after the Milchama, there were a lot of Yiska books that were put out from Yedish Shtetl, Yedish Shtot. They put out the history of the town, history of the city, those survivors who remained. And a lot of them were recollections that occurred earlier. And when you start looking through the recollections in the 1800s of how Slichas looked tonight, the first night for Ashkenaz that didn't start 3 weeks ago, you look around, you have different approaches. Some approaches were despondent, negative, down, vaying, walking the streets with a hymn. Everyone was in a solemn mood, and that's how they entered into Slichas. But if you look at other books and other first-hand sources as well, of what occurred in those days, in certain areas, in certain courts, in certain locations, it wasn't done that way. After Shabbos, they would sit down with Olav Malka, and they'd be singing, and they would do Zmiris, and they would have Shiris for Spach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it would be a more of a festive situation as they would come into the first night Slichas. Both approaches are acceptable, done by great people. And it could be a little bit of what we're discussing now. On one hand, we have to realize we're a week away, 3 weeks late, we're a week away into the idea of recognizing that we did things that we should not have done. And we soiled ourselves, if that's the correct word, umetama, alpiderach, potentially, even Avodah Zarah, what's called Abu Israel Avodah Zarah Yisurim. And every one of us is here to beg forgiveness as we start now. But, and that's a solemn situation. But as well, there's a positive aspect to it, to know that in Aveinik, in the deepest part of us, we were never nitcha. There's no such thing as being nitcha in Judaism, according to this interpretation. There's a nira, and you remain nira. On the outside, it looks bad, in Echanami, but you're still a nira. We're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a crucial detail to recognize, that what we're supposed to be doing is not necessarily one mahalach, but not necessarily a mahalach that will lead to depression. Solemnness, yes, depression, zichanat. And hopefully with all of that, as most of us came to hear an uplifting experience, if I use the word uplifting, but it's more of a hesyris, in the way it's done correctly, hopefully with all of that, we said that in Hilchas Tshuva, every time you look in the Tshuva in this week's Parsha, Tshuva is always mentioned with Kibbutz Golias. Always together. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'll do Tshuva and you'll be Mekabetz Golias. Hopefully tonight, with the Yisrael, we could all do the correct Tshuva and have the Kibbutz Golias Bekarav Yimeinu. Amen.